Almighty, who was, who is to come, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive all glory and honor, power, riches, and blessing. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. Holy is your name, your kingdom come, and your will be done on the earth. We pray that tonight you might help us as we consider things to come, historical events which will take place that will bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you might help us and may it stir us to share the gospel in these days of grace before the time of judgment comes with the coming of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word and we thank you for the guidance that it gives us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who helps us understand and put these things together. We would not be able to understand these things without the help of the Holy Spirit. We pray for our brothers who are in Southeast Asia. We pray for their safe return as they make their way back and come back Friday. We thank you for their being there. We're excited to see what happened in their going to the ends of the earth, sharing the gospel with people who've never even heard the name of Jesus. And we pray you'd bless them and their families for the sacrifice they've made to do that. We pray for all that's going on tonight across this wonderful place you've given us to be together with all of our children and our students. Brother Tim, as he shares the gospel tonight, gives an invitation to the students. May there be students who are saved tonight who've been hearing the gospel and their friends have been sharing the gospel. And for Brother Jeff and our choir and all the rest of our Bible study teachers, we thank you for it. We're blessed people, and we're grateful for it. We ask that you would help us on Friday and Saturday, Lord, as we go to White Bluff and as we speak to the people there and invite them to come to be a part of our church and share the gospel. May you give us favor and may you give us opportunities that we don't expect, and may you provide divine appointments with people as we go and we're there saying a good word for Jesus and seeking to be Jesus to others. Now, open our eyes to your word and may we understand it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. This is very much, I don't wear t-shirts to church, but I was asked to wear, so I'm a billboard tonight. Brother Ricky, this shirt is the shirt we'll wear, and I'm supposed to turn around. So look, whatever it says. What does it say? Okay. So we'll all wear these shirts Friday and Saturday. It'll be a wonderful day. If you can't be with us, please be praying. We've got about 70 or so of our people some will be canvassing on Friday, and then Saturday we'll set up all of our inflatables. If you want to know where we'll be out at the... it's right next to the Church of Christ. How weird is this? You know, we're promoting them coming to our church next to the Church of Christ. We didn't put the park there. We're just using it. So it's not the Church of Christ park. It's the park of White Bluff. So, Field of Dreams. So if you can come by, even if you can't stay the whole time, come by. You'll see all of us out there. And we're very excited about it. And then Lord willing, if Jesus has not returned and we have the fall, we'll be doing some things in Burns, and then, Lord willing, we'll move on over to another part of Dixon and go see our friends in the neighborhood and invite them to be with us. All right, lots to do tonight. We have many things to cover. So good to see all of you. We continue in our studies in Isaiah, the glory of the Messiah. We've come to these last of times. I know that I'm not going to finish this outline tonight. That'll be okay. You'll have it and you'll know where I'm going if you choose to come back next time as we talk about this. So let me ask you to do two things. Turn first of all to Isaiah 40. We've been there before. And then as you find your place in Isaiah 40, let's go to the book of Revelation and we'll begin to look in Revelation chapter 20 for a moment. I'm excited about Sunday mornings because I'll be talking about because He reigns. Because He reigns, we'll be looking at some wonderful things. I hope you picked up the bookmark you'll know where I'm going each week, and it'll give you an idea. We're going to be spending, we were in Genesis, now we go to Revelation for a while. I believe it's the time for us to do that as a church. And I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to us having the time to read this book, which is a blessing to all who read it and to all who hear it. All of God's Word is a blessing when you read it, but there is a special blessing on those who hear and read the words of this wonderful, glorious, final book in the Word of God. So we go to Revelation chapter 20, first of all. We'll go there just to get this in order, because tonight our focus is the glory of the Lord Jesus will be revealed in His millennial reign. The glory of the Lord Jesus will be revealed in His millennial reign. And over the last 2 weeks, I've given you about 12 different points. If you weren't with us, you can go to the website and you can listen, or you can get the outline. I would encourage you to do it. I'm trying to talk to the church about this because I believe it's a very important truth that sometimes is lost in all of our thinking about the second coming. Revelation 20, verse 1, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven holding... By the way, let me say this. The book of Revelation is a book about literal events, historic literal events, spoken in a prophetic way, just like the rest of the prophets speak with metaphors and with images that are describing the indescribable. That's the nature of prophecy. And I'll say this again Sunday morning as we begin. You open the book of Revelation, it reads much like the Old Testament and the prophets more than some of the places in the New Testament. But the imagery represents real things, real people, real events that will come. It's a book about the things that are to come. Just while I'm supporting my point there so that it's on record, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that is the unveiling, which God gave Him to show to His bondservants the things which must soon take place. These are historic. They're not allegories. They're not spiritual lessons you spiritualize and pretend like they don't exist. No. When you come to read the Word of God in the book of Revelation, you are facing the reality of the glorious God who saves and who judges the world. There should always be a tear in our eye when we think about the judgment of God. So we read tonight now things that are coming. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. 1,000 years, literal 1,000 years. There's no reason. Lots of Dr. So-and-sos have tried to work around this. It's 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over, so that he would not deceive the nations any longer. What an amazing time that will be. Until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. Then I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the Word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their foreheads and on their hand. And they came to life, and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Resurrected saints will be alive with the Lord Jesus when He comes to reign on the earth for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. And this is the first resurrection. So we see the glory of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ described here. While Satan is confined, incarcerated, the Lord Jesus will reign on the earth for 1,000 years. Oh, the vastness of the material in the Old Testament pointing toward these things. whenever you come to a place in your study of the prophets in the Old Testament and you read it and you say, I don't think this has ever happened, you're getting close. That means that it's yet to happen. Over 45 times in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah uses the phrase, in the last days. The Lord Jesus, the apostles, in the last days. Here we are, in the last days. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, He has done His work. He is raised from the dead, ascended to heaven, now enthroned in heaven, soon to come again. So we now live in the last days, where we should not be surprised at the corruption, the wickedness of lost people in the world, even though the church seems to always be surprised by this. We should expect these things. That's where we live now, in these. John the Apostle says it even more powerfully in his letter, the last hour. If you knew this was the last hour of your life, would you change anything? The last hour. Oh, the urgency of the moment. Oh, may the Lord help His sleepy church. With all of our happiness in America, the American church and all of our... We don't need anything. We don't even need God. We don't need Jesus. We don't need the Holy Spirit. So we see, first of all, the Lord Jesus will be glorified in His return and reign on the earth. I'm just giving you some selected verses because here's what we're talking about tonight. This is the point. Oh, Pastor Mike, isn't it glorious enough that Jesus Christ has ascended to heaven and He is reigning in heaven? We're going to talk about that on Sunday. He's reigning already in heaven. Isn't that enough? No, it's not enough. It's not the finishing of God's plan to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, all that is tied to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth simply adds to His magnificent glory. So we are those who must learn this and not spiritualize it away. You see, when we actually believe these are real events and we accept this, by the way, the church for close to 400 years after the Lord Jesus, this was not even an issue. But then there came to be some who said, well, that just seems to be so harsh and so hard. Yes, it is. Nobody's popular when they talk about what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. But these are the words of God. So we're not going to shrink back. We're going to take in every word of God, though it, you know what it'll do? As you understand tonight, if I can do it by the help of the Holy Spirit, to even consider the glorious nature of the Lord Jesus' return and reign, it will produce in you worship and fear of God. The Lord Jesus will be glorified. Look at this. Isaiah 40. Now we're back there. Isaiah 40, where we were before. Isaiah 40 is where we began. The greatness of God. Comfort to the people of Israel. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it together. Has that ever happened? No. People saw the Lord Jesus in Jerusalem, some did. But the whole world didn't even see Him at that time when He came to the earth. There was no mass media. There was no internet or television. There was no means to take a picture of Him and send it all over Rome and all over the Roman Empire. And to China and other places. No. The whole world has not seen Him. This is already pointing beyond the glory of the Lord's first coming. Then the glory of the Lord. Then. Notice these very important words. Then. The glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So we looked in detail last week at Psalm 72, which is a Messiah psalm, a messianic psalm. It's about the Lord Jesus coming again I can't go back through that, but we talked about it. At the very end of the psalm, it says, "Blessed be His glorious name forever," speaking of our Lord Jesus. "And may the whole earth be filled with His glory." Amen. Amen. The whole earth be filled with His glory. That doesn't mean the whole earth will hear the gospel. That means the whole earth will be filled with His glory. That's never happened. Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus' own words, red letter words, "And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn." We're going to come to this in a minute. Why wouldn't they rejoice? Oh, this is important, Christians. All the tribes of the earth will, China, Iraq, Iran, the Baltics, Russia, America, Canada, Mexico, South America. All the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky. These are the words of the Lord Jesus, with power and great glory. The Lord Jesus is full of glory. We saw His glory. Glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is what John says at the beginning of his gospel about the coming of the Lord Jesus when he saw His glory and was privileged to be one of those who saw the glory of the Lord Jesus. But oh, this is the greater glory. It's even the greater glory than the resurrection. It's even a greater glory than His ascension. He is coming with, notice, power and great glory. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus. As to this salvation, Peter follows up. The prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come. This is what we've been doing in Isaiah for all these months and years, however long. I have a lot more gray hair than when we started Isaiah. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries. Isaiah was in the Spirit of the Lord. He sought to know, and the Holy Spirit revealed these truths to him, seeking to know what person, notice, or time, notice. You see, the person and the time. There's a first coming and a second coming, the times of the Messiah. The Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, as he predicted, please notice, Isaiah. What did we read? The suffering servant. He took on our bruises. He took our beatings. The chastisement of our peace fell upon Him. Isaiah 53, His sufferings. We saw it and we spent time in it. But look, as He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow, resurrection that followed, ascension that followed. Oh, but coming again, that follows. All of these things describe the great glory of the Lord Jesus and His return to the earth. Anyone who seeks to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus must pay careful attention and serious attention to the return of Jesus Christ, physically, bodily, to the earth. Without a serious consideration of this, there is a misunderstanding and a lack of understanding in the truth of God's Word. Because you see, the Lord Jesus tonight Himself in the glorious place still has His body. This is the great mystery. He didn't drop His body off somewhere along the way, you know, like a missile going up into taking a satellite, drops off the stages. Well, I guess I won't need this anymore. No. No, there was a Lamb standing in the midst of the throne that had been slain. All the marks, all the piercings, the slain, glorious Lamb of God in that heavenly, glorious place tonight beyond our imagination is alive. With that glorious body, He ascended out of this earth to heaven with. If I'm talking like a madman, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Go tell somebody about this. that's eating their hamburger and they think that they got their life together. Guess what will happen? All of a sudden, what? The fear of God might come. Someone might know that they need to talk to Jesus. Who is this one? Well, he's actually alive in another place and time and dimension, beyond all time and comprehension of we know. And he is soon to return into time, back to time, for 1,000 years to finish what has to be done. And then the end comes and a glorious new heaven and a new earth. You as a Christian have a lot to look forward to. It's never going to end from now on. Are you not glad? It's never going to end. Oh, the weeping and the trouble and the pain, and it's real. I understand it. I feel it. I live it. It's not always going to be here. It's going to be gone. It's better coming in the future than it is now. And it's pretty good to be saved, even right now. Now we come to this very important truth. I come to this next point, and I fear that just because of the way I am and what's in my heart, we may land at point two, and that may be all we do. So some of you are very worried. I've been here long enough that some of the people here really, like one man came and said, well, you didn't finish all your points. Sometimes you just don't finish all your points. So if I don't finish my points and you're one of those people, it'll be okay. We'll come back and do it again. I want you to read now. The Lord Jesus will be glorified in His return and reign on the earth when He judges the nations. So let's go again back to Revelation. Now, we go to Revelation 19. The fourfold hallelujah takes place in chapter 19. Hallelujahs in heavens, hallelujahs, amen, hallelujah. The voice came from the throne. This is verse 5. Give praise to our God, all you bondservants, you who fear Him, the small and the great. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Is the echo of hallelujah in heaven. And then there is the great picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb, that is the church gathered together with the Lord Jesus Christ. But then those things are in heaven. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns. Many crowns. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The coming of the Lord Jesus is a terrifying event. Some of you have been alive a long time and you've thought about some of the most terrifying events in your life. World War II was a terrifying time in America. It was a different time, wasn't it? There wasn't as much communication. It was hard to know what was really happening. We've had terrifying events on the face of the earth. The atomic bomb, terrifying event. Terrifying events. This is a terrible, for the nations and those without Christ, this is a terrible terrible thing. We've just been reading, if you read through the book of Revelation, you have the Lord Jesus who opens the seals, the scroll, and he opens the seals, and there begins during that time of terrible tribulation, the wrath of God is poured out on the earth. And wrath, and after those seals are broken and the angels do what they do, then you've got bowls of the wrath of God poured out. How can you read the book of Revelation without weeping? Unless you think it's just some kind of a nice fable, allegorical story about how God somehow defeats evil. How disrespectful and dishonoring to God that even is for me to say that. No. You see, those of us who spend lots of time thinking about the attributes of God, let us not forget that when we talk about God in His glorious justice, it's real, eternal, fierce, powerful, almighty judgment. And over He has leveled civilizations in the Old Testament. Babylon is no more. Egypt is no more. The Assyrians are no more. And now, this terrifying day will soon come to the earth. You see, we live in the time of His immediacy. His coming could be at any time. Any time. So if His coming is at any time, it's a terrifying time for those nations of the world. So I take you back to Isaiah 2, and without having to look all these up, I wanted you just to see it. It's there on your sheet. Now, it will come about that in the last days. Remember, this is spoken 45 times in Isaiah. Sometime go get, you know, some of you have your, you know how to get on your concordance. Go out to Blue Letter Bible or whatever you use to study and just put in last days and go to Isaiah. And just, if you don't believe me, count them up. You can come tell me, well, you know, you were off. It's 44. It's 48. Whatever. It's a whole lot. It's a whole lot. In the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. That's never happened in history. Unless you think this is just some kind of an allegorical pretend kind of a thing. And will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. What will happen in Israel of today when the Lord Jesus is reigning in Jerusalem? The nations will stream there. Listen, because Lord Jesus is there. Do you hear me tonight? And many people will come and say, we're hearing a quote that's going to take place during the millennial time. And many people will come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us concerning His way and that we may walk in His paths. For the law will go forth from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and He will judge between the nations and will render decisions for many people. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 25, but when the Son of Man comes in His glory, this is His return, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Okay. He's seated in heaven, but now He's seated on the earth. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. This is a description of the glorious, perfect wrath and judgment of God in the hands of the Lord Jesus. Now I want you to see something. Now, I don't have these in your notes, but I want you to note them. And this is why I know time will get away from me. But these are important things, and this is valuable. If you go in your Bible to John chapter 5, when the Lord Jesus is speaking about His authority, and He's talking about who He is and His equality with God, He says, this is John 5:22, "For not even the Father judges anyone." Now, these are red letter words now. "But He has given all judgment to the Son." All judgment to the Son. And then, if you read also in verse 27, "And He gave Him authority to execute judgment." This is describing the two resurrections. He gave Him authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man. And so then we see this amazing time of the Lord in His judgment. There's judgment at the beginning of His coming to the earth when He deals with the nations. And then, I'll read it to you for the sake of time, in Revelation chapter 20, there is a final judgment in heaven of all of the great dead. "Then I saw a great white throne and Him who sat upon it, from whose presence heaven fled away and no place was found for them. I saw the dead, great and small. The books were open." This is not a judgment for believers. This is the judgment of all lost dead from all generations. "And they looked in the books." Well, if their name was not written in the book of life, they were thrown in hell. The fierce wrath of God. Who wants to take the Lord's name in vain? Who wants to belittle Jesus? Who wants to talk? The world continues to do it today, but oh, how we read they will mourn. They will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming, because then they will know judgment is coming upon me. And I can't escape it. They will mourn. They won't rejoice. Those who have rebelled against God and cared nothing about God. Look, all of those who have any kind of education have already left the Bible. They've already left Christianity. They've already rejected Jesus. They look at all of us as kooks and nuts. They've moved on to other things in their lostness. How terrifying it is. How terrifying it is. It's more terrifying than anything you can imagine that you've ever dreamed or seen. The terror of the Lord when He comes again. This doesn't trouble people. But we must know it because we're God's people. When the Lord Jesus comes, and I didn't finish it, let me just finish this. Listen to what's going to happen. You can go back to Revelation 19:11. And I started reading, I stopped at verse 16. Now if you go to Revelation 19:17, "Then I saw an angel standing in the sun." By the way, that's a big angel. That's a big creature. "And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in the mid-heaven, come assemble for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of commanders and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and slaves and small and great." Now you read unbelievable words. This is at the end of the millennial reign when the battle starts again. The devil's back on the run. He's stirred everything up again. "I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against the Lord Jesus, who sat on the horse and against His army." So I take you to some hard chapters in Isaiah. Usually preachers skip over them because they're so hard. I take you to some dark words of judgment, but you must hear it. Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34, this is in a section of judgments. Oh, I'm so frustrated here. I didn't even get finished with point two. We have to talk about this. I have 3 minutes. Let's just hear what... This is a series of judgments that Isaiah... You have to look at them all together. They're strung together. And this is the final statement to the nations. God's wrath against the nations. Draw near, O nations, to hear and listen, O peoples. Let the earth and all it contains hear the word and all the springs from it. The Lord's indignation. Are you hearing the word of God now? If someone's not in Christ, if someone's not saved and under the blood, and the wrath of God is satisfied because they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're under the wrath of God. Your friends and mine who are lost today. This indignation of God, the Lord's indignation is against all the nations and His wrath against all their armies, and He has utterly destroyed them. He has given them over to the slaughter. So their slain will be thrown out, and their corpses will give off their stench. And the mountains will be drenched with their blood. And all the... This is too hard for some people. Some Christians don't have a stomach for this. And all the hosts of heaven will wear away, and the sky will be rolled up like a scroll, and all their hosts will also wither away as a leaf withers from the vine. For my sword is satiated in heaven. Behold, it shall descend for judgment upon Edom and upon the peoples whom I have devoted to destruction. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It's a hard chapter to read. We read in Isaiah chapter 63. Let me just go there for a moment with you now. We go to the end, to the... These words in Isaiah 63, 1 through 6. Who is he who comes from Edom with garments of glowing colors from Bozra? This one who is majestic in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. Who is this one? It is I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. This is the Messiah. This is the Lord Jesus. Why is your apparel red? Oh, now listen. Why is your apparel red and your garments like the one who treads in the winepress? The Lord Jesus says, I have trodden the wine trough alone, and from the peoples there was no man with me. And I also trod them in my anger and trampled them in my wrath, and their life blood is sprinkled on my garments, and I stained all my raiment. It's a bloody time. Because the nations, even after 1,000 years, will not bow the knee, many of them, to be saved. It's Israel's time. It's Israel's time. Yes, Gentiles also, but Israel especially. Because there are things that God will do. As Paul tells us in Romans, I've told you, Romans 9, 10, 11, all Israel will be saved. But you see, it's a bloody, terrible, awful time. Isaiah 65, 12. I will destine you for the sword. This is to the sinful nations. And all of you will bow down to the slaughter. Because I called, but you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not hear. And you did evil in my sight and chose that which I did not delight. Does it matter if someone submits to Jesus Christ? Oh, it matters greatly. You see, all of the philosophy and all the ideas of man in his pride to push down and suppress the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ will only lead to their great pain and suffering eternally if they do not repent of their sins. It won't be some compromised set of gods from religions that will be in the end. What ridiculous thinking. There'll be no Buddhism. There'll be no godless Islam. The dark religion of the devil. No, it'll be the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Amen. And it will be, listen, a slaughter like has never been on the earth. How should that make us feel? Isaiah 66:15-17. For behold, the Lord will come in fire. Remember, I read it in Revelation now, 19. John saw it, but here's what Isaiah's seeing. The same thing. For behold, the Lord will come in fire, and His chariots like the whirlwind, to render His anger with fury. To render His anger with fury. Don't read over the words. God is furious in His holy, holy anger. To render His anger with fury and His rebuke with flames of fire, for the Lord will execute judgment by fire and by His sword on all flesh, and those slain by the Lord will be many. Oh, and then what do we read finally? Here's what the preachers were saying in the book of Acts. Let me just read it to you for the sake of time. It's Acts 11:42. If you do want to see it, you can see it. I'm just going to read it and we'll be finished. 11:42. No, 10:42. Yes, 10:42. This is when Peter's preaching to the Gentiles for the first time. Verse 40, God raised up the Lord Jesus on the third day and granted that He become visible, not to all people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us, who ate and drank with Him after He arose from the dead. Please notice 42, this is your marker. And He ordered us to preach to the people. Ordered us. We're under orders. We've been ordered by the Lord Jesus to share the gospel. Ordered, not suggested. Hey, you know, hey, would you guys maybe work on that? If you get around to it. I know you got a lot going in your lives. He ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly, this is what I'm trying to be tonight, solemn, about a very solemn subject, solemnly to testify that this is the one, uppercase O, one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. So on the back, I give you this wonderful thought. Already, not yet. We are already saved, but our salvation has not yet been made complete. Jesus has already triumphed over Satan, but Satan is not yet banished from this earth. Sin has already been forgiven on the cross, but we are not yet free from its power. Death has already been conquered, but we are not yet free from its effects. Christ already reigns in our hearts, but is not yet reigning on the earth. He also reigns in heaven, by the way. Our King has already come as a servant, but not yet in glory. The kingdom has already been established, but it is not yet here in its fullness. It's already visible in the church, but not yet as the pure, spotless bride of Christ. It's already functioning on earth, but not yet under its direct kingly authority. I say, as I call this church to over and over, come, Lord Jesus. And when we say it now, you know what you're saying. Come and judge the world. Come and judge and reign on the earth and make things right. Wilbur Chapman, it's in our hymnal. One day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men. My example is He. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming. Oh, glorious day. One day they led Him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed Him to die on the tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is He. One day they left Him alone in the garden. One day He rested from suffering free. Angels came down o'er His tomb to keep vigil. Hope of the hopeless, my Savior is He. One day the grave could not conceal Him, could conceal Him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then He arose over death. He had conquered. Now is ascended my Lord evermore. One day the trumpet will sound for His coming. One day the skies with His glory will shine. Wonderful day my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming. Oh, glorious day. Amen. That's all I got for you tonight. See you Sunday. May the Lord bless you, or come help us at White Bluff. God bless you, those who have been online with us. Say hello to somebody on your way out.